Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attended the worship online, this is the 64th lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, I explained that God had a plan from the beginning to give Adam a helper suitable for Adam. God intended for a man and a woman to have a beautiful relationship of understanding and helping each other as a couple in marriage. But as the end draws near, the world becomes filled with sin, and the relationship between husband and wife becomes distorted. The end time is not for being fruitful and multiplying. It is to adorn yourself as a spiritual bride while waiting for the Lord's second coming. Let me continue to explain why the Bible says that it's better not to get married. The first reason is that, as it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 28, marriage will bring upon you the trouble in this life. The chapter 7, 20 says, "But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have a trouble in this life, and I'm trying to spare you." When daughters get married, their parents cannot be at ease. Parents miss their precious daughter and worry about whether she's having difficulties in her relationship with her husband or in-laws. Just like these parents, the Apostle Paul had heard that care for the saints. He advised them not to marry because he was concerned about the hardships they would face if they got married. The second reason why not getting married is better is because your heart will be divided if you get married. What God wants the most from His children is their heart to love God first and foremost. So the Lord also emphasized that we should love God first with all our hearts, mind, soul, and life. Matthew chapter 22, 37 says, "And He said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with your all soul, and with your all mind." Those who love God with all their hearts, mind, souls, might, wisdom, and with all their lives are the true children that God desires to have. If you remain single because you love the Lord, then you will probably try to fill your heart with a hope for heaven, thinking only about God. On the other hand, once you get married, your heart will be divided. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 32-34 says, "But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord." But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and the spirit. The answer is right there in these words about the way we get to the New Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul said that it's blessed not to marry. Why? Because it's the greatest blessing to aim for the New Jerusalem in the last days. In real life, some people used to lead a diligent faith life, but after they get married, they change. In fact, there are so many cases like this. They get stained by fleshly lifestyle and stop praying. Then they begin to take worldly things one by one and bring upon themselves trials. Even though their faith might not change this much, it would certainly be different before and after marriage. Before the marriage, they can always focus on the work of the Lord. They can freely work for the Lord, whether it's in the early morning or late night. After marriage, however, they are bound to the family. That's why people who were faithful to the Lord often don't show up after they get married. However, if you consider the eternal heaven, it's obvious where you will go when your loyalty to the Lord is less than before. If each seeks the benefits of their spouse and let their spouse work for the Lord freely, it's a relatively better case. No matter how considerate your spouse is, however, the husband basically has the duty to support his family. I've never once interfered with my wife, Mrs. Lin, her work for God. She would leave the shop open and go out to visit the saints. My daughters were very young at the time and they took care of a shop. How much could those young children look after the shop? So even if there were losses, I didn't care at all because my wife was doing God's work. She had to lead the prayer meetings, evangelize, and lead the worship. When she left the store, I didn't question her about what happened. And after I started the church, I helped her do God's work more freely. The director, Mrs. Lee, of the prayer center, my wife, did not interfere with my work for God, but only helped me. I even forbid her from spending time cooking for me. I wanted her to accumulate more rewards in heaven during the time. In fact, she's a very good cook. Her food is really delicious. But all that work is done by others, and I encouraged her to do more of God's work as a prayer center director. Even if I have to eat less delicious food. Sometimes she felt sorry about my attitude because she liked to cook delicious food for me. But God's work must come first. If you have a family like this, you will be really happy even if you get married because you and your spouse help each other for God's kingdom. However, if people get married, neither of they and the significant other are able to rest just any time as they please, considering the situation of the family. Before marriage, they could rest and refresh themselves, or they could freely do work for God during the holidays or vacation time. But now they have to take care of their family. As a wife, as a husband, as a daughter-in-law, or son-in-law, they are supposed to take care of the family of their spouse as well. Likewise, once people get married, their hearts become divided, not to mention their finances and their time. I'm not saying it's wrong to take care of your family. You should certainly take the responsibility for each other, and you should obviously care for your family. But if you can choose, how much more spiritually beneficial it would be to give that time, material, and effort to the Lord. I said it's a better situation if both the husband and the wife have a good faith to share spiritual love together. They will suppose each other to pray more and to store up more rewards so that they can go to New Jerusalem. Both of them can become a good friends in faith and compete with one another in running to race of a faith. In real life, however, it's not a common occurrence. Moreover, if both have this kind of a faith, they will not feel the need to get married because they will be satisfied with the Lord alone. I'm not saying do not marry or you should not get married. I'm explaining the biblical view on marriage that you should understand as you live in this end time. It's not my words. It's God's words in our Bible. I'm just explaining what is more beneficial for those who have a faith and a hope for heaven. Those who are already married should be considerate of each other so that they can go to better heaven and achieve the spiritual love. I will tell you about the ideal model of the husband and wife that God wants as we get to Genesis chapter 2, 21, which begins to describe how God created the women. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, now Genesis chapter 2, 19 says, "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every birds of the sky." I said that when God created the first man, Adam, God formed him of a dust from the ground. Now, this verse says that the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every birds of the sky also out of the ground. Does it mean that he formed these countless animals and the plant one by one all by himself? In Genesis chapter 1, 20, God says, "Let the waters teem with the swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth on the open expanse of the heaven." It was done exactly so. And Genesis chapter 1, 24, God commanded with his words, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kinds, the cattle and the creeping things and the beasts of the earth after their kinds." And it was so. Now, were the animals created at his word? Or were they created from the ground? The answer, as God commanded with his word, they were created from the ground. Let me explain what it means. I told you in the last lecture, before God begins the creation work, he already had plans for everything. He had the blueprints and the materials for all creatures. He also had an idea about how to create them. For example, the blueprints for human beings had all kinds of information about the human body. The material to create man was a mud clay, which consists of a proper ratio of water and the ground. The creation process for man was to form man from clay according to his own image and then breathe it and the breath of it into his nostrils. Likewise, God had all creation plans for each and every creation in his heart. It's said that there are about 350,000 plants and more than 1 million species of animals on earth. Once again, about 350,000 plants and more than 1 million species of animals. The blueprint of all these plants and animals were contained in the heart of God. The materials that God used to create them were also the ground and the water the same as He created man. However, the creation process was different from when He created man. As God gave out the word in His voice and the ground and the water obeyed, at the moment the word in His voice contained the blueprints for each and every creature. Let's say there's a scene that God created the plants in the Genesis chapter 1:11. It's read then, God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yield seed, and the fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruits after their kinds with a seed in them." And it was so. God divided the plants into three major categories and commanded others to bring them to sprout. The word in His voice was quite simple, but His word contained the blueprints for all the plants. And thus the earth did sprout with all the plants according to the blueprints. Let's think about the coffee vending machine. Nowadays, you can get various kinds of coffee, even from a vending machine. I've never used a vending machine coffee, but I've heard of it. Inside the vending machine, many materials which are used to make various kinds of coffee. When you insert money and press a button, you can get your favorite coffee. It's possible because the machine is made to mix a cup of coffee according to a signal that it receives. So if you press a milk coffee in front of the vending machine, you will get milk coffee. And if you press the black coffee, you will get black coffee. Do you remember that God surrounded the entire earth with the original light and put it into the water of life? Just like feathers in an amniotic fluid, the earth was being prepared for living creatures. When God surrounded the earth with original light and the law of the natures was set up, and when the earth was put under the water of life, the life force went into the ground of the earth. Since the water of the earth was originally the water of life, it had the life force from the beginning. When compared to the coffee vending machine, all the materials and the automatic system to make up cup of coffee was already in place. Just as God spoke the word by pressing the button on the vending machine, creating took place just like that. It was the same when fish and birds were created in the fifth day and the animals of the earth on the sixth day. The materials for all creatures are ground and the water that have the original light and the life force. Only the kinds of ground, the compositions ratio of ground and the water were different for each creature. The blueprints for the more than 1 million animals were all contained in the heart of God. The blueprints of each of these 1 million species of animals are all contained in God's heart. So what is the same among them? Both eyes, the middle of the nose, two nostrils, a mouth, both ears, and everything that goes in. Digests in the stomach and passes through the internal organs and comes out through the anus. If they love each other, the way the union of the sperm and an egg to create the baby is the same. That's what I mean. All those many species. So how foolish are those who advocate evolution? Even the countless creatures on the earth, their way that loving each other and birthed baby and the structure on a face and the body is the same. The fact that these people and animals have a similar structures tell us that they were designed by the one creator. Romans chapter 1 says that we will not be able to make an excuse on the day of the judgment because we did not know God and did not believe in Him. As God had the blueprints in His hearts and gave out the world, His voice and animals was created. That's why I told you that the creation took place from the ground when God commanded with His word. Therefore, God created all kinds of animals and birds from the ground does not mean that He formed each and every one of them with His own hands. Only the first man, Adam, God formed with His own hands. We humans, the Lord of all things, were to be cultivated by the God and become the true children, so He personally created us. However, other animals were not created by the God's hands. God created humans with His own hands and poured His heart into creating them so that they could be born as children of God. From the fingertips of God, the original light continuously came out as He formed Adam. As God formed the head, it was not a lump of ground anymore, but it was already completed head of a man. From head to the neck, to the torso, and the arms and hands, and finally the legs and the feet, by the original light that came out from the hands of God, the man came to have a perfectly formed body. The skin was not dark brown like the color of the ground, but it was a bright milky color. And then as God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, Adam becomes alive and began to move. You can see how much great love and care God had and how delicately He created man, unlike He created other creatures. God could have created man with His word just as He did to other planet animals. However, He formed man with His own hands to show His genuine and earnest love. Dear brothers and sisters, at the end of the human cultivation, the Lord will come in the air, and then those asleep in death who were saved will be resurrected. Their spirits and the souls will come down from heaven along with the Lord, and their body will be resurrected from the earth. The resurrected body and the spirits and the soul combined together to become the completed resurrected body. The body buried on this earth will rise from the grave and be resurrected. And his spirit and soul will come with the Lord who is coming again and the dock with his in the air. We call it docking. Where is the air? In the sky? Where is it? It's the second heaven. How can a shapeless body, which died long ago and decayed, resurrected like this? It's possible by the power of God and His divinity. The original constituents of a man's body were decomposed and went back to the ground. Do they only turn into the soil after a long time? They were washed away by rain and go into the river or sea. Or they go deep into the ground. It just says that God said in Genesis chapter 3:19, by the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to the dust you shall return. However, the components do not disappear from this world. They just go back to the ground. And when the time of the resurrection comes, by the power of God, all constituents come together and compose a resurrected body. Everyone, you can believe in God because He can do anything. The same method was used when dried bones became the soldiers, as in Ezekiel chapter 37. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put shines on you. Make a flesh grow back on you, cover you with the skin and put breath in your that you may come alive. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied that I was commanded. And as I prophesied that there was a noise, and behold, the rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, and the flesh grew and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Ezekiel recorded this as he saw a vision. However, at the time of the resurrection, the bodies of those asleep were also resurrected in this same way. Even if the bones are completely decomposed and go back to the dust, it will regather again and make up bones. When God commanded the bones together, they gather. When He commanded the sea becomes the calm and the waves becomes quiet. What can't God do? He commanded the bones to gather together and give them flesh. Now, as in a verse of a Bible, He also commanded through the prophets. When God created the plants and animals with His world, the ground and the water becomes mixed in much the same way, and each creature was created. Dear brothers and sisters, the plants and the animals in the Garden of Eden were also created in the period of a six-day creation. There are both ground and water in the Garden of Eden as well. The plants and the animals of Eden were also created in the same way as those on earth, using the soil and the water as a raw materials from Eden. All kinds of plants and animals that exist in the earth can also be found in the Garden of Eden. Of course, they are much more beautiful than those on the earth. The exception is the dinosaurs that first existed only in the Garden of Eden, but not on the earth. By the way, some animals in the Garden of Eden were created from the ground of the earth. As God created Adam and Adam in the earth and led them into the Garden of Eden, He led some other animals into the Garden of Eden along with Adam. Even though they were created from the ground of the earth, they adapted themselves as well in the Garden of Eden. They lived well along with the animals that were created in the Garden of Eden. Just as Adam was made from the dust of the earth, there were also animals that adapted well to the Garden of Eden. In this way, there are animals in the Garden of Eden that were made from their soil, and animals made from the soil of the Garden of Eden. However, you cannot tell this difference between the two groups on the outside. They are the Garden of Eden are still the same as when they were first created. Each species has a uniquely beautiful appearance and a gentle nature. On the other hand, some of animals on earth have changed greatly since Adam's sin. Some have become fierce in appearance and have become rough and ferocious in nature due to the evil that entered the earth. By the way, not only the earth and the Garden of Eden, but there are animals in the third heavens as well. Just like angels and the cherubim, God created them with His word. Since heaven is the perfect spiritual land, the animals didn't need to be created from the ground. They were just created to put on the unique spiritual form. The animals in heaven are so beautiful that animals of the Garden of Eden cannot even come close, even compared to them. Its reason is obvious. The earth, Garden of Eden, and the heavens are different levels of space. Each heaven has their own unique characteristics according to the space they belong to. The light is different, and so is the density of spiritual characteristics. Therefore, not only plants and animals, but everything that exists in each space is different. Jewels and flowers in the first and second and the third heaven, they all have a different color and they give a different impressions. Let me include it. In this lecture, I told you about the biblical view on marriage and how God created the animals and the plants in the earth and the Garden of Eden. The first priority of a life for those who live in this end time should be accomplished the spiritual and the holy hearts that resemble the heart of God the Father, who is a express himself. I will conclude this message as I tell you where we are at the period of human cultivation. As I explained in Genesis chapter 1, the earth was created the first, and after quite a long time passed by, there was the six-day work of the creation. Adam was created the sixth day, and they spent countless ages in the Garden of Eden. As Adam was driven out of the earth after committing sin, human cultivation began. God fixed the 6,000 years as a period of the time which human cultivation would run. Now, scientists have said the earth is 4.5 billion years old. Under the assumptions that the earth is 4.5 billion years old, if you calculated 4.5 billion years as 1 year, the 6,000 years of human cultivation can be calculated to be approximately 4 hours, 17 minutes, and 30 seconds. It's not exactly 4.5 million, but if we assume that, and converts 4.5 billion years into the 1 year, this means that human cultivation did begin from 7:42 p.m. on the last day of December 31st. As we run towards the end of the human cultivation, it's already bypassed 11:59 p.m. on December 31. Do you understand what I mean? The human cultivation period is almost over. It's now 11:59 p.m. on December 31st. So there's 1 minute left. That is 59 minutes and 59 seconds.
무슨 말인지 이해가 되고 있습니까?
인간 제작
기간이 거의 찬 지금은 12월 31일
We are living at the time 11:59 p.m. on the last day of a year.
거기서도 59초도 지난 시점이라 이 말입니다.
And now that second is passing by. Not even just a single second is left for the Lord's coming in the air. You have to break it down into the even 1 second. You have to break it down into one out of a 100th. At the point we, you and I are living, so you have to come to your senses. Don't live your life committing sin and vaguely think that you will repent someday. If it's too late, you may not be able to repent even if you want to, because God will not give you the spirit of repentance. This is the case when you sin again and again. Repentance is not something we do on our own. Therefore, when you repeat the sin that leads to death and angers God, you will not be able to repent. And the enemy devil and Satan won't leave you alone. So the Lord coming again in second. There's where we are now. Ephesians chapter 5 says, therefore, we be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. May you consider the rest of the time an opportunity you would never get again in your life, and focus on coming into the Spirit and the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.